notice that the Bible says the whole Babylon, which is modern day Iraq and a part of Iran. Have you noticed this? That there was nobody, the Bible says, there was nobody wiser more than Daniel. And this is not just by faith. It says the king tested him. He didn't test him by how much he was praying. He was tested by in the marketplace. Daniel, we have got this situation financially. How can you handle it? And scripture says he was 10 times better than the financial advisors of the king. I'm trying to talk to somebody here. He was 10 times what? Better than what? But this was nothing to do with how much he was praying. But did you notice that the wisdom he was speaking, it was not from his head. It was given by angels. The whole chapter of Daniel, angels would come and speak to him. I understand some of you do see angels sometimes, but we want to see that wisdom of angels in the marketplace. You know, people separate things of God with the marketplace. They are wrong. The man who had more encounters with angels was Daniel. Yet whatever he was getting in the encounter, he was using in the marketplace. Until the king said, amongst all advisors, there is nobody. And the Bible says he was 10 times better. Somebody say, I'll be 10 times better. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And that is not in the prayer room. He was not 10 times better in the prayer room. Now, why am I sharing this thing to you? I'm sharing this because I want you to understand why. Because Daniel was a man who understood the seasons. Amen. When everybody didn't understand the season, scripture says Daniel understood and he said that I, Daniel, understood by the book of Jeremiah that our time of captivity was over. So I, Daniel, went into prayer and fasting, seeking the face of the Lord. Did you hear that?
Yes.
It's only the person who can align themselves when they realize the season they are in. Alignment comes in by recognizing the season you are in. If the season is yours, you will align yourself. So Daniel did not just understand the time, but he began to align himself. So we see Daniel fasting. We see Daniel praying. Not only that, but we also see Daniel behaving wisely towards the king. And he began to open more connections with the people in the corridors of power until he became second in command of the whole Iraq. Am I talking to somebody right here?
Yes.
Now, that's alignment. Now. So here we go. Now, I'm going to take you a little bit because I want you to understand that the prophecy of victory and kairos is not just a spoken word. It's a divine reset.
Amen.
We are in a season of victory.
Amen.
Therefore, align yourself in that regard. The same scripture, let's check in Amplified Version. Just read again in Amplified Version.
There is a season, a time appointed for everything and time for every delight and event or purpose under heaven.
Did you hear that word appointed?
Yes.
What's that? What's appointed time? Speak louder. What is the appointed time?
Kairos.
The appointed time is Kairos. Say it again. Say Kairos.
Kairos.
One time I was praying, and as I was praying, I smelled onion. My whole prayer stopped there. I just stopped praying. I knew that it is done.
Amen.
The problem is you don't pay attention when you're praying. You just pray even if you're smelling garlic. I was in a place where there was no onion. And onion was smelly. I said, it is done. It only took like 7 hours. I got a call. What I was praying for was done. So I don't mean when you're in your kitchen and you smell onion, you should say it's done. Yeah, I know. You would be your kitchen onion. Hallelujah. Praise be to God.
Amen.
It's alignment. So when we are now, I have spoken to you that we're in Kairos, we're in victory. And guess what? So many people will not align themselves to that prophecy. So many people will not take it so personal. Write that word victory and kairos somewhere. If it's even to step on your or to pin it on your wall in your bedroom, do it.
Amen.
Your prayer, your thinking, your everything should align to what God has said is your season.
Yes.
In that way, you will not be praying outside of the season. You will be praying in the season. This is my victory time, and this is my kairos. Now, let's go ahead. We are going ahead. This teaching is getting somewhere. It's going somewhere, this teaching. And if you're watching me now, get ready because it's about to address your situation. Are you understanding? Now, when we understand the year, because I want you to understand and to have an intelligence about the year. That word year, I want you to have an intelligence. So the word year has got two words in the Bible. There is the normal year or the normal new year. And then there is another year known as the spiritual new year. There are two new years. The first new year is known as the Nisan. Okay? And the Nisan, it is the one that comes in spring. And this one is the spiritual new year. And when you check this in Exodus 12 verse 2, the Bible, just read it, Exodus 12 verse 2.
This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.
All right, so imagine when they were crossing, and I want you to understand that, when they were crossing the Red Sea, God said, this month shall be the beginning. So you can see that God created a new calendar on that day. So the Jews celebrate New Year's. There is what they call the Nisan, which is a spiritual year, which was declared by God. And God said, this month shall be the beginning of the new month to you. So Jews or Israel celebrate two New Years. One, which is the spiritual year, which was declared by God. Now, when you are just, you see, the problem is the church does not even understand a lot of things, like how things happen in the spirit. And the Jews do. Feeling the anointing without understanding, you'll be feeling that anointing and remaining the same.
Amen.
You must have knowledge.
Yes.
Understand what happens.
Yes.
The spiritual here. And I think we normally do prayers here. Even last year we did them.
Yes.
Yom Kippur. You remember when I was teaching about Yom Kippur? Then we also had Rosh Hashanah. Remember all those moments?
Yeah.
So now understand this. So we have the Nisan. Now somebody say the Nisan.
The Nisan.
Then we have also what is known as the Tishrei. Which is the civil new year, all right? And this is a moment of repentance, alignments, and also known as the Feast of the Trumpets. And if you check them, are you still understanding where you are here? So we have got 2 years One, not the civil year, and two, known as the what? Tishrei. It's not Shona. Now, you must understand this, somebody very important, and I know people until today, they keep on fighting. Like, okay, which one is a good day to pray? Is it a Friday? Is it a Saturday? Is it a Sunday? You have to understand something very important, that these days, which are given by people, are days named calendars created by men. So if the Muslim, their seventh day is on Friday, they are right. I don't know if you're getting it. So you can't just say they are wrong. No, their calendar says their seventh day is on Friday. You get it?
Yes.
And some, their calendar, their seventh day is what?
Saturday.
God says the seventh day. So if that's your seventh day, it's an issue of your calendars. Are you understanding?
Yes.
So if you look at what God is doing on the Jews, what they follow, the only spiritual year which God declared, it is the one that comes around October, which is when God said, this shall be the new year to you. Okay? But then God admits that there were already months which were already made. He said, this month, which means there was already a month. I'm talking to you, right? So you should not be thinking that there's a word January in the Bible. There's no January in the Bible. But then, the month of January overlaps with the Tevet. Tevet, it is a season of new beginning in the Bible. When they say Tevet, they mean new beginning. And according to scripture, it's on the 10th month. So when we are dealing with January, it's the new beginning. And it happens that in our normal calendar, the Roman calendar which we follow, it also happens that the new beginnings is in January. So when we are saying that it's same, when we are praying, when we're doing these things, we're not just doing them. There is something here overlapping. There is a new beginning. Right now, all the Jews in Israel, they are praying for Tevet, which means new beginning. All business owners in Israel, they are going to their rabbis, to their men of God, and they are bowing to them, and they say, bless us. And they are being blessed with the Tevet. Tevet means new beginning. And what they do, you can Google this. What they do, the Jews who have got businesses, they make vows before a rabbi. And these vows is to say they will give to charity. They will donate. They will support the work of God. They will support even the poor. That's the meaning of Tevet. So they'll be promising even people that have made money. I'm trying to talk to somebody. So they'll be making vows right now in this season. They are making vows. They are making vows to their rabbis to say they will do this, they will do this, they will build schools. They'll build a hospital. They are making vows. So they began from December. So the whole December, they were burning candles. And they were prophesying. So they all prophesy. And now during Tevet, they begin to make vows. The new beginning. So they have got faith. They will have money to build a hospital. Even before they've made money. And this is why the Jews are the richest. The whole world. They are controlling everything. Well, believers, we are not even promising God anything. All we want is a miracle. Father, in the name, I know you give it. God says, but there is no, what is it for? What are you looking for? What is it for? The Jews. Now imagine a Jew standing here. And a believer standing there, a believer just saying, their Father, Lord, we have gone to Israel several times. And listen, the Jews can pray. If you go on the wailing wall right now, at this hour, I'm telling you, at this hour, the Israelites are standing at the war of the war, the temple war, the temple of Solomon. They are standing there right now and they are praying. And they don't just stand there and say, "Oh, Father, Lord." No. You will see them moving like this. They'll be praying there. But if you check the most of their prayer points, it's vows. They make more vows to God than they want God to give them. They make promises to God. They want to give God more than they want God to give them. Where a believer standing next to the same Jew is asking God, "Father, Lord, I've got so many things. Lord, open my life. Lord, I need this. Father, Lord, I need. Oh, shaka ba 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 ba." A Jew is standing here and is promising God, "Lord, if you give me this, I will do this. Lord, I will do this for the poor. Lord, I will do this. I will do this. I will do." You are there. "Father, Lord, I receive." You even make things worse. As you are receiving there, "I receive." Then you just change your prayer from nowhere. Fire to the enemy. Like, how did you change it from receiving to fire to the enemy? You will see them, all of them like this. All of them, they're promising God. They're all promising. They don't say, "Lord, you see my life is a mess. Oh, Lord." It's believers who will be standing there. "Lord, oh, my life. Oh, look, Lord. Father, look at my shoes. Can you feel sorry for me?" God, I'm not talking to you. Divert new beginnings. You must align yourself what's happening right now. Because if you be praying differently in January, you are wrong. You are wrong. If your prayer will be different, then you are what? You are wrong. You have to pray as what is happening in the spirit. So we are in a Kairos moment. The whole year is a Kairos moment. Anything can happen to your life anytime. We can wake up in the morning just to hear that you are a billionaire. People don't know the Kairos. Kairos is very dangerous.
Yes.
We can wake up in the morning and just hear that you are gone. Your life is just something else.
Amen.
However, you must align yourself.
Yes.
That's why I'm teaching you this.
Yes.
You must what?
Align
yourself. So what happens? Now, we are following the patterns in the Bible. We find out that in every moment of divert, there was a war in Israel. And this war, it was not just a battle where Israel was facing the enemy. It was the battle of being besieged. I was sharing this in the morning, and I want to connect with what I'll be sharing with you tonight. So every battle in the month of Tevet, if you'll be reading your Bible, read it properly. Whenever you'll be hearing the word Tevet, there was a battle, and in this type of war, Israel was surrounded. When I say besieged, I mean Israel was surrounded. So this is the city of Jerusalem. The enemies were not coming to face Israel, to fight with Israel. They were not doing that. What they were doing, they were moving around the city. Remember, Israel was having the walls around. It was inside the fence. So they would surround the whole fence and they say, "All your gates, they are soldiers standing. You're not going to come out." In those days, if they want water, sometimes they would get water out. If they want food, they must go out of the gate. There was a gate which was going to Syria, and there was a gate which was going to Samaria. Once soldiers broke there was hunger inside. And I think you know the story, what happened when Elisha prophesied and he said, "Bread shall be this by tomorrow morning." It is because they were besieged. They were soldiers by the gate of Samaria. So when the enemy surrounds the city and takes positions, they would besiege the whole city, not with the aim of fighting them to defeat them. But when they do that, in the military terms, it's known as the battle of attrition. The battle of attrition, the enemy does not face you. He surrounds you and begins to attack every area that brings you what makes you happy. All your connections are broken. All your roots, all your doors are closed. And leaves you like that. So he doesn't touch you. So when the enemy is fighting the battle of attrition, he does not come directly. He can leave you praying with your holy fire. He can't enter. He knows that woman, she's so powerful, I can't enter her. That man is so powerful, I can't penetrate. But what I will do, I will go and I'll block every channel that brings in resources. So he blocks and puts you under siege. And if you do not understand, this is why this month of January, I always do deliverance. Every year, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing because it's a month of warfare. It's a month of Tevet. It's a month where the enemy stands to besiege God's people. So you'll be standing like this. You'll find that this door is closed. This opportunity is closed. This thing is closed. And when the enemy welcomes your new year like that, your whole entire year is destroyed. And you will not start this year like that. I promise you, this year will be different. You will start strong and you will end strong. You will start with a testimony, you will end with a testimony. Somebody shout, I break the siege. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
There is a defense line. The enemy has built a defense line to make sure you do not move. You go this direction, you are facing resistance. You go this direction, you are facing resistance because the enemy knows that you are so powerful. And he says, I can't face you. I was just going to block every direction. So we want to go in details. The first siege will be breaking. Can we go now?
Yes.
All right. Let me demonstrate this again. Can I have the two of you there? Come over here. You also come over here. Surround my order. You come over here. All right. So imagine this is a city. When we say that the city is under siege, in the scripture, this is the type of battles that were happening in the month of Tevet. When you read your Bible, it says, and in the month of Tevet, Israel was under siege. That's what it means. In January. So enemies would strike in the month of January most of the times. And there was even a drought where a prophet was involved. And the prophet had to say, by tomorrow, the price of wheat will be at this. Because there was so much drought, Israel didn't even know what to do. Because this period is a warfare period. I'm telling you this. I don't preach sermons. I tell you the prophetic stuff from your Bible. Now, so imagine this is surrounded. Now, if the people in this city, they will not do anything because every direction is what? Is blocked. No matter how powerful you are, you may want to have new horses to come and help you. But this road that horses are supposed to come to your city is what? When they're bringing in horses from this direction, they'll find the soldiers on the road. That's what it's going to be. Daniel was under siege. The whole Israel, when they were in Babylon, they were under siege. That when an angel was bringing an answer through this other route, they met the prince of Persia. The Bible said there was a spirit that stood him. And when the angel came and told Daniel, he said, Daniel, I was blocked. However, when another angel is coming, he will also be blocked by another spirit of grace. You should read your Bible. So all the roads leading to bring solutions to the people of Israel, spiritually, they were all blocked. There was a spirit of Persia, there was a spirit of grace. He said, be careful. God may want to do something to you, but the way can be what? Be blocked. Because the enemy knows that when this thing happens, you will go far. Somebody said, rebuke you, Satan. Now, so these, when you are under siege, there are things that happen to a life of a believer. You're going to be under siege by a sickness, a spirit that is just a sign to bring diseases. It's either you or someone in your family or someone in your family. As you are dealing with that, there is debts, financial debts waiting for you. Am I talking to you? As you are dealing with that, just stand this direction. As you are dealing with the financial debts here, there are delays in everything that you're trying to deal with. Now, the two of you sit down. The two of you. Now, tonight, we want to break the first siege. Amen. Someone said debt cancellation.
Debt cancellation.
Okay, go and sit down.
Amen.
Anybody who you have got debts
Amen.
Or financial difficulty, get ready. Somebody is watching me now and has got more dates and their internet is misbehaving. And even your phone is under siege. Like, oh, wow. Hear this. Somebody said debt cancellation.
Debt cancellation.
Yeah, that's the first siege you want to break.
Amen.
Anybody, listen to me, anybody that you have got debts that you are failing to come out with, or anybody that you have got some financial problems that you are failing to walk out of, listen to me, through this teaching, by the time we'll be finishing the sermon tonight, God will visit you. Now, listen to me. Why debt cancellation, financial debt cancellation, is very easy? It is because the biggest debt that was canceled around you was not your money. It was your sin. If God could cancel your sin, he can cancel everything around you. Let's go to the book of Colossians. Do you love Jesus? Chapter 2, verse 13 to 14, already New Living Translation.
You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us.
He what?
He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it on the cross.
So the first thing that we want to look on the scripture is that God is able to cancel.
Amen.
God is able to cancel the records.
Yes.
So there were records. But God what? Canceled. Now, as I said to you before, the biggest debt you had was not financial debt. It was your death penalty. Because of your sin, there was already a judgment made which said, you go to hell. I don't know if you understand this. The judgment was what? But then God canceled that judgment. He canceled the judgment of death. We were born sinners. We were sinners before. But can you imagine that that was canceled? You tell me, if you go to court and they cancel a death penalty or they cancel a financial debt, which one is more powerful? Now, we are saying that God canceled your death penalty. Do you understand sometimes this? Or you are so familiar that you have forgotten that you had a death sentence. That if you die, you are going to hell. It is by the grace that you are saved.
Amen.
Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
No, say that again. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
There was a judgment on you. That if you die today, you are going to hell. there was a punishment on you. That if a rapture ever happens, this year or next year, or whenever it would happen, you are going to hell. But imagine grace canceled that. And you have got some brothers and some sisters, it's not yet canceled. And you are living with them in the same house, only you it's canceled. What a grace. There are people you know, it's that penalty is on them. That's why I tell you, some of you, you don't even preach to people in your family, you don't pray for their salvation, and when they die, you cry. That's useless. Cry for them now as they are alive, because they are already dead. If they have no Christ, they are already dead. If it's your child, that child of yours is already dead. Why not crying now? You'll be crying on a funeral. Oh, I have lost you. No. They are already lost. You were once lost and you were found. You were once dead, but now you are alive. Am I talking to you? Pray for them. God can cancel that debt. That record, God can cancel it. So you must understand this. Don't just say, Father, we are praying right now. Listen, you have got your mother, you have got your father, you have got brothers and sisters. Pray for their salvation. They are walking dead. And on top of that, then they should die again. And you are going to bury them. You even know that this one, I doubt. And then the preacher will be saying, hallelujah, this woman, she was a good woman. Yet you know that my sister, she has gone to the grave before she even forgave me. She hated me to the... You get it. Pray for your family members. So number one, God is able to cancel the records. The Bible says we had records and God canceled them. It means that all other records, he is able to cancel them. I don't care whether they are financial records or whatever records, but God will cancel them tonight. The fact that God is able to cancel our records of wrong spiritually, he can also cancel our records physically. This month, something has to happen. Whether to be by supernatural ability or whether a door will open of you to have money and you're going to pay back your loan or your debts, I don't care. But something is going to happen. This way where the enemy has besieged you with the financial difficulty, we are breaking this defensive line. Someone say the defensive line of debts, financial difficulty. So we break the siege. In Micah chapter 2, verse 13, I want you to see how we break the siege. My God.
Your leader will break out and lead you out of exile, out through the gates of the enemy cities.
Imagine.
Back to your own land. Your king will lead you. The Lord himself will guide you.
Hey! Is this from the besiegement? No, read in NIV. Just read again.
The one who breaks open the way will go up.
The one who what?
Breaks open the way.
Somebody say, the one who breaks open the way.
The one who breaks open
the way. Meaning, how was the way? Was it open or not? Answer my question. Was it open or not? It says, the one who breaks open the way. Go ahead.
Will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out.
Somebody shout, I'll break through the gate.
And go out.
Their king will pass through before them. The Lord at their head.
Can I say something to you?
Yes.
This is not a scripture that is just being read here. It is a direction of what is going to happen with your life from tonight. The one who goes before. The one who opens the gate by breaking it. It doesn't matter who has surrounded you. But I speak in the name of Jesus Christ. You are breaking out. Somebody say, every resistance in my finances, break. How does this spirit operate? We're going to look at this. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 11 to 12, and we're going to read the New Living Translation.
You must restore their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and homes to them this very day, and repay their interest you charged when you lent them money, grain, new wine, and olive oil.
When must it happen? Now you're already getting it. You must restore their fields
today.
Vineyards,
today.
Olive groves, and homes to them when
today.
This very day. How many are believing God tonight to say this very day, my house will be given, restoration will happen, everything I'm looking for will be done. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. We're going to read again another version.
They replied, "We will give back everything and demand nothing more from the people. We will do as you say." Then I called the priests and made the nobles and officials swear to do what they had promised.
Today the devil, he will vomit. Whatsoever. Listen, any wicked man who swallowed your destiny will vomit it. Go back to the same verse. Go to verse 11. Let's go to good news.
Cancel all the debts they owe you.
Wait. Come on. Everybody else read this together. Let's read together. One, three, go read.
Cancel all the debts they owe you. Money or grain or vine. Or olive oil.
Or wine. Or wine or olive.
Or olive oil. And give them back their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and their houses right now.
Wait. Tell your neighbor, say now. Go ahead, reading it.
The leaders replied, "We will do as you say. We will give the property back and not try to collect the debt." I called in the priests and made the leaders swear in front of them to keep the promise they had just made.